Tatiana Andrusov is the author of 5 newly published books. These are historical novels based on truths, but brought through fictional characters and settings. These first 5 works, Before They Cut the Ivy, Mangoes and Blood, Choices, A Question of Seduction, Eros, and A Question of Seduction, Agape, cover the 1960s through the end of the 1980s, going from college in the U.S. to an international setting on 3 continents. Exceptionally today, Tatiana will talk about actual facts that impact the world but have also impacted her personally.
A couple of days ago, I was invited to take part in a Zoom meeting on sex trafficking, something which occurs more often than most people realize. Since we are in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic and also dealing with continued actions for racial justice, I initially viewed this as a welcome respite to deal with an issue that is also a matter of well-being and justice, but not often considered. Besides, it reminded me of something that I fortunately or unfortunately knew about firsthand, at least as far as attempts made to draw a young woman into sex slavery. The vast majority of people think that only poor, uneducated young women are drawn into that world, though rarer efforts are made to draw educated women into that underworld. I experienced it firsthand in the early 70s in Paris, France. I had just received a master's degree and was several months away from starting a course on simultaneous interpretation from French and Russian into English in London. Through friends, I had found in Paris a lovely apartment full of books that I could take care of while the owners were away for the summer. It was a great opportunity to improve my French. The owners of the apartment, grandparents of a fellow college alumna, were a French-American couple who frequented the American church in Paris. They suggested that I also attend. I followed their advice and found it welcoming and a good place to learn about the city. One Sunday, during the coffee gathering after the service, I met, among others, a couple of a certain age with a daughter who seemed to be some years older than I. Almost immediately, they invited me to have lunch with them, but I demurred. Somehow, I just didn't feel comfortable with them. The daughter, a very tall, rather heavily made-up woman, did not, in my eyes, behave like a daughter. They seemed almost sleazy. I literally moved away from them rather quickly. Also, they did not bother to talk much to the others in the post-congregation meeting. They came a second Sunday, a third, a fourth. Each time they made a special effort to come near me, to talk to me, to invite me to lunch. Each time I found an excuse. They did talk to others, but never made an effort to become part of the whole group. The fifth or sixth time they invited me, I proposed, really to get rid of them, that we go to lunch to a little simple place almost right behind the church. Once we sat down and ordered, I felt as if the three were cornering me. What was it? The food came. I barely talked. The so-called daughter was really irking me, with her heavy perfume overwhelming me. Suddenly, I felt queasy. A memory floated in front of my eyes. A couple of years before, while in college, I had developed a sebaceous cyst, one brought on by some cut while shaving under my arms. It was so painful that I was almost screaming, and my dorm mates called the college infirmary. The doctor ordered that I should come in the first thing in the morning and asked, meanwhile, if anybody had any strong painkillers. One of my dorm mates, the daughter of a high-ranking military man, did. something from her father's military hospital which had been prescribed for her acute menstrual pains. I took one or two of those pills and after a while thought that my head was an orange and that I should peel it. A little later, looking through the sixth floor window of my room, I thought it might be good to simply step directly outside to the ground floor. My roommate pulled me back in, and she and friends made sure that I was safe until the next morning when they accompanied me to the infirmary. There, the doctor laughed. She had been in Vietnam taking care of our wounded soldiers and had never seen someone as happily drugged as I. I was in such a state that she cut and emptied the sebaceous cyst without any additional painkiller. All of this came back in a flood, and I knew I was in danger, and I was the only one who could save myself from whatever that danger could be. I smiled and said, "I really must go to the ladies' room," and suddenly got up and headed towards it and past it as there was an exit door there. I went as fast as I could, remembering that there was a metro station right near this place. I almost dived towards it, held on to the rail, walking down the stairs, somehow put my ticket in and took the next train, which, hard to believe, was there within a minute or two. This was my normal route to and from the church. Thus, in spite of the whirling in my head from the drugs, I did get off at the right stop, somehow made it to the street, to the house, to the apartment, opened the door, ran inside and got a bag, filled it with some clothes, walked to the bathroom, added some essentials, went out again, took the metro again to the main train station and went directly from Paris to our U.S. embassy in Bern. There, I reported the whole to an officer at the embassy. Yes, these people were trying to get me into what at that time was called the white slave trade. Fortunately for me, they did not know about the past that got me out of their clutches. Nor did they know about the fact that someone who had studied international relations, had worked for some weeks at the United Nations, had a few diplomats, fellow students, that someone like that, though to their taste, knew so much that she could smell them out. When I went back to Paris, went to the American church, they had disappeared. I wrote a few lines about it to the organizer of the meeting on sex trafficking, but somehow the memory was so painful that I could not manage to attend the meeting. But sex trafficking is an issue and still exists. The present pandemic and the rightful calls to justice should not mask our minds and hearts to other issues. Young women and young men, for there are young men, are potential targets of this trade and need to be educated and protected. And the wider public needs to know of its existence and extent. This is why, in spite of the pain I feel, I share it with you. Remember that even the novels that I write are historical and based on truths. There are moments when the personal truth, in fact, is so close to the fiction that it hurts. Sometimes the truth is so important that it has to come out as it is. This is one such truth.
Thank you, Tatiana. Now, you can get all the books from Tatiana Andrusova on Amazon. In fact, you can download some of the initial pages of each book absolutely free. And we'll talk to you again, Tatiana. Thanks again.
Thank you.